right. Welcome to another Monday Mentor in Hope Grown Faith. So I'm so excited here to have Donna with us today. Donna is a mom and a wife and a follower of Jesus. And so I'm going to let her introduce herself a little bit more to you. So Donna, tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Hi there. I am a mother of two boys, and I live in Dallas, Texas with my husband and my sons. We've raised them here in Dallas, I'm a Baptist. I've pretty much always been Baptist, my husband is Catholic, so he's a believer, but was not formed in his upbringing to take on the mantle of spiritual leadership in the home. I ended up sort of taking that on. We just moved my oldest son to college this past weekend. Ooh. So, tears and joy, an intense weekend. He's only half an hour away. So, you know, that's easier on me, but still he's not home every night. His little brother is 15, and is in high school and doing great. That's about it in terms of my, you know, family and brief bio here.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that with us. So, tell us a little bit about your faith and how you have kept the fire burning as your children are growing. I mean, I feel like a lot of marriage books and stuff say, you know, pray with your spouse and read the Bible with your spouse and stuff. And for a lot of us, that just isn't a reality. That it's kind of just down to us to keep that fire burning, and God, obviously. But so tell us a little bit about how that's worked in your life.
Well, I'm thankful that, God made his presence known to me in my life at a pretty early age. I was saved when I was 11 and had a sense of inevitability about it, that I was just, going to be a believer and was going to be a believer my whole life. God just said, that's who you're going to be, Donna. And I didn't always have strong spiritual mentorships, many times it was just me and through my young adulthood, and I didn't get married until I was 30. I realized though, when I got married, we found out that we were expecting a baby, and this information came before we got married. So, we pulled together a family unit in a hurry. I knew that this was a situation in which I was not going to be able to do it by myself. And really, I gave my child to God when I found out that I was pregnant. I said, I can't do it if I think of this as my baby. I have to think of this as God's baby that I'm a steward of. And God blessed that approach and gave me some wisdom I wouldn't otherwise have. The only explanation is his spirit with me in my parenting throughout the entire journey. I'm not going to say I haven't been, confused sometimes or wondered what am I doing sometimes. We all wonder that. I'm not saying I didn't make any mistakes, but God really did answer this prayer, and he also assured me that as much as I loved my children, he loved them more. If I could even conceive of somebody loving my children more, I mean, you can't even think of that. You love your children so much. But God said, yeah, and so I love them more.
Wow.
And somebody said that to me when they were really little. You think of dangers that your kids could be in or illnesses. You know, we're not guaranteed a safe and lovely life. So how do you not live in fear as a mother? And somebody said, you have to know that God loves your child more than you do. Mm. And that helped me let go of a lot of that fear. And it helped me be confident in God's promises. Again, the promises are not for a nice life. We're promised difficulty, but we're promised the presence of God over and over and over again. We are promised the presence of God in Scripture. And I really leaned on that. And I also did not make my husband's spiritual development my business, really. I certainly prayed for it. I certainly have supported, you know, his own journey and inquiries. But pretty early on, I realized that his conversion to my way of approaching my Christian faith was not my job. God told me that he would handle that.
Yeah.
and that it wasn't good for our family. It wasn't good for our children, to see judgment from me, you know, for their dad. We do have robust dinner table conversations about theology. Cool. I don't back down on my theology, and I don't expect my husband to, but I feel that that's also a way of respecting him, that I will engage him rather than just pretending, you know, that it doesn't matter, that the differences don't matter. They do. And I also don't want my children to be deceived about the differences, for example, in our, you know, in our approaches to faith, so that when they get out there on their own, they suddenly discover that these are real theological differences and they freak out. I want them to already know, you know. So I've learned to really show respect for my husband, but my obedience is first to the Lord. That's my duty. My duty is to Jesus Christ. And to raise my children up with, you know, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to know that that's there for them and to know what it means. That's my very first responsibility.
I love this.
And you know what? My husband has supported that. He hasn't always agreed with me, but he has listened pretty well. And I think that the Lord blessed, you know, my obedience to keep a sense of respect for my husband and, to honor his own spiritual journey and to pray for him, but to leave that between him and the Lord, but to remain dedicated to what I know to be true in Scripture and to know Scripture and what it promises. Been, you know, open with my kids about that I'm also, you know, I'm not fully sanctified.
Yeah.
You know,
good point.
You're going to see me, right? I'm working it out, as Scripture says, to work it out with fear and trembling. I've let them know, listen, these are failures in my human nature, these aspects of my personality. If I lose my temper easily, or perhaps I judge somebody quickly, or I have a smart mouth back at somebody, these aren't fruits of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to worry about it. I need to be obedient to God. And then as I notice these things, turn them over. And the result of that is that they know there's not some perfect ideal that they have to live up to and that they know inside they're failing. They have seen the Lord work in my life and the Holy Spirit work in my life. They've seen what happens if I don't pray. And they've seen what happens if I do. Thursday, I took my oldest son dorm shopping and I didn't pray before we left the house. And somebody in a parking lot tested my temper, and I didn't do a good job at that test. And my 18-year-old son was with me, and he said to me afterwards, he said, maybe that guy had a bad day, you know, maybe his girlfriend broke up with him or something, we don't know. And I said, you know, I didn't pray before I left the house, and I didn't invite the Holy Spirit in with me today on this errand. And perhaps if I would have, I wouldn't have been so quick to respond to this person's anger. And I am really thankful for the continued opportunity to live that out in front of my children. and to be really, really open. You had indicated it, you know, what important things made a difference in my spiritual parenting, and this idea of being forthright mm-hmm. about my need for God all day.
Yeah.
It's taken a lot of pressure off of me. They are not going to say at my funeral, my mother was a saint. but what I want them to say at my funeral is that God is good.
Mm.
And I want them to say that. I want more words about God at my funeral than about me. They've seen God work in my life. Beth Moore said once, the surest way to make sure that your children grow up having faith in God is to live your life in such a way that they want what you have.
Hmm.
They cannot be who you are.
Right.
But they can want what you have.
Hmm.
And my children have seen prayers and answered prayers.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen God change their father, and they've seen mm-hmm. God work in my life. And they've then therefore felt that they could go to God directly themselves, that the Spirit is with them. And they've prayed themselves. They've had their own questions and their own journeys, and they're certainly not done. They're so young.
Mm-hmm.
But they know that God is directly there for them, face to face. And that's really the main goal, is to make sure not that your children emulate your relationship with God, but that they have their own.
Yes.
They have their own.
Absolutely.
They're gonna have their own journey. They're going to have their own lessons that God gave them, their own spiritual destiny. I saw something the other day that said, when God gave you your destiny, he factored in your stupidity. I thought, oh gosh, I wish I'd seen that 20 years ago. It's true. It's true. He loves you so much. And I just want them to know how precious he is to them, and that they can go to him directly. So.
Oh, I love that. I love that you just tell them, I need God. Like, that
is
so honest, right? You know, I think as parents, we just want to be like, no, I'm right. And,
mm-hmm.
Don't question Definitely. Me, but we are not perfect. And somebody wrote a comment here that we are all imperfect. And it's probably good for mm-hmm. our kids to know that, I really needed Jesus more there. And I should have remembered to ask him for help.
It's
great, not just talking about it in relation to their lives, but in relation to our own life as well. I am going mm-hmm. to incorporate that more. I appreciate that thought. Thank you.
Sure.
I've been wanting to take notes the whole time, but I realized once that if I typed while people were talking, you could hear the typing. But so I'll have to go back and take notes later, because this has been really great. Okay. Thank you. So what mm-hmm. is, I guess, I mean, you did touch on this a little bit when you talked about your dinner table conversations. What does the balance of faith formation look like mm-hmm. between you and your husband?
It's interesting because he was raised Catholic and he still somewhat identifies as Catholic, but he's got a lot of questions. That's tricky to answer. We stick to a lot of scripture. That is a unifying factor, sticking to scripture. And if we have a question, really, we'll say, well, let's all look it up. Let's just look it up right now and see what it says. I did participate in, both of my children, being baptized in the Catholic Church when they were little. That was really to make sure that we were at peace with my husband's parents. But then both my children chose to be baptized in my church later. My husband has not, he has not insisted that they go to Mass with him. He doesn't always go. sometimes likes to go just by himself to kind of be meditative about it. So he hasn't really insisted. He likes if we go to Mass with him, but he's not insisted about in it, and he's not really involved in a deeper way in any parish. So it's been that I found a church when my kids were little. I like to sing. I like to do Bible studies. I got involved right away. I got them involved in the children's ministry right away. And since I was the one more deeply involved in my church, the kids just came with me, and they grew up in the youth group and everything. So I was the one more committed, I guess, to regular involvement in a church situation. And so that's how that played out, because it just worked out that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty neat. I love that you didn't just give up. Like, okay, well, he doesn't want to come with us, so we just don't go. You just kept going. And that's
been
a really big thing for your kids. That's really cool. Do you have maybe one piece of advice? So I have two questions here. They're a little bit different. What's one piece of advice you'd give a mom who wants to share Christ with her kids but struggling to make it happen? And the second one is, do you have a piece of encouragement you can share? So advice and encouragement.
My advice is God must really infiltrate everything that you do. I don't mean, you know, God, tell me when to flip this pancake. But I mean a sense of gratitude and a sense of dependence need to shine through everything that a mother does. And if our children, my children will come home and tell me about a friend who is struggling. And you know, the immediate response is, let's pray for this friend. Let's pray, you know, right now. And I will promise to pray for your friend. Even I got an A on something. Well, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to God for the intellect and the clarity of understanding that you were able to succeed in that. And just at every time you can think of to thank God in front of your children, and every time that you can demonstrate a dependence on God for your day and the joy in that dependence, that really has a powerful impact on children. So even mothers who may be struggling with a husband who's a non-believer and doesn't like that there's even any Christianity going on in the house, the mother can be thankful to God, and the mother can be dependent on God, and the children can see that. And God does say that if, you know, you're married to an unbeliever, hang in there, because he may be converted by your actions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's so in one of the letters, yes, in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
So,
I think that's really great, because that's something that all parents can do, no matter how much time you have with your kids or how old your kids are.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And you know, when my kids were little, I mean, I had no sleep. I was sleep deprived. I was not very healthy. I was living on Frappuccinos. I was trying to prop my eyes open with an 18-month-old to pick up the 4-year-old from soccer practice, and it was 105 degrees, and my kids didn't sleep for forever. You're tired. You're overwhelmed. You're cranky. You just whatever. You know, all of these. But God knows all of that. He sees all of that. And you can still just make references. Maybe you haven't cracked your Bible open in 2 weeks or a month, or you're embarrassed to say how long. You're going to get to the point where you can do that. Just hang in there. But still, this gratitude and dependence, you can do that all day long, all the time. You do it in the car, you do it in the grocery store, you do it all day long, and you just hang in there. Those hard, hard days aren't forever. They really aren't.
And that is some great encouragement.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to say that there's lots and lots of scripture where God says he's with you. He's with you. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you." Mm-hmm. He will help you. He promises he'll help you.
That's right.
So that's the biggest encouragement. Yeah.
Not a thing we're doing alone. That is very encouraging. And we just continually need those reminders, too.
Yes, we do.
I mean,
I'll say
you.
That. I'll forget it by 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'll need this reminder within 45 minutes.
Yes. I'll send you the video.
Okay, good.
And then you can like put on repeat. I even said this.
Yes.
I knew it.
I'll set it as my ringtone.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. God is with you. God is with you.
Yes.
And he wants to help you. That's great. You know, and that goes along really well mm-hmm. with one of the four pillars of Hope Grown Faith, which is that we can have confidence that God is working in our kids' lives and in our lives, and he loves them more than we do. So yeah. You've been talking a lot today about just that confidence that he loves us.
Yes.
And he is with us and he wants to
Yeah,
help
you
us.
Know, and I'm at the end of, not at the end, I mean, I'm going to be my kid's mom forever, but, yeah. You know, they're 15 and 18 now, and I'm blown away. I'm blown away at how God has been there for me. You can't help but be afraid at the beginning. What's going to happen to my kid? What if I don't do this? What if I'm doing this wrong? God is with you. When I look back, you know, now that my kids are nearly grown and nearly flown, God has not let me down. He has been with me. There have been some terrifying times, but I have never been left alone, ever.
So how about your kids' faith now? Do you have conversations still with them about that kind of thing? Or
constantly. My oldest, you know, we just moved him into college this weekend, and he found a mentor at my church, and he's going to keep in touch with him.
Oh.
And the thing is that we really, I've let both of my kids know that God can take their hard questions and that they should ask hard questions.
Absolutely.
We should not be afraid of hard questions, and that Christians can be smart. We do not leave our brains at the door.
Amen.
Unfortunately, in church and outside of church, there is this misperception that if you're going to believe in God, you shouldn't think too hard about it. But I really disagree. And I think that's why a lot of youth are leaving churches, is that churches are not prepared to handle hard questions.
Mm.
You know, we need knowledge of history in our churches and be able to look up the words in the original language and see what the writer meant in that context and to answer those questions. We need to engage with people who have interpreted scripture differently. We need to not hide from those things. Don't hide your children from things.
Yeah.
Let them know. There are people that disagree, and some of those people are smart, and you're smart too, and we should use our brains. God gave mm-hmm. them to us. So because of that, because we've not been afraid of hard questions, at the dinner table, my children have confidence also going forward that they can ask these and that you can have a brain and be a Christian.
Yeah, that's great. And that you can throw it at God and he's like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I remember one of the most comforting things to me is when Jesus comes back to life and Thomas is like, I don't know if I believe that. I don't think I can believe it until I see him. And Jesus doesn't say, oh my goodness, Thomas, seriously? He says, no.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, you can touch.
Yes.
It's okay. Like, you can ask me your hard question, and you can be okay
Absolutely.
With your doubt. And so it's a really beautiful moment there, I think. I know we often say, like, doubting Thomas, I can't believe you doubted. Don't be a doubting Thomas. But Jesus treats him very gently.
That's right. And they say that Thomas was the apostle that took the church to India.
Mm, good thing he did.
And so his interaction with Jesus Christ was pretty important and took Christianity to a continent.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad Jesus interacted with Thomas and didn't dismiss his concerns and his doubts.
Absolutely.
I'm glad he said, you can ask.
So when your kids were younger, did you ask the questions or did you just kind of start talking about them as they came up? Do you remember?
Well, they would have an experience in their day or I would let them, you know, lead, I guess, most of the time. And I did try to say a lot of, well, some people believe this and here's why I understand that they believe that. here's why I'm not quite on board with that. So we would look at their life experiences, and sometimes the conversation would involve addressing how other people might approach that religiously, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I would just read something during the day and at the dinner table say, you know, I read this interesting thing today. Mm-hmm. I would bring it up. So also they went to a Catholic high school and they had theology classes, and so they would come home and have topics that came up in theology. And some of these topics were ecumenical, and so they were not specific to whether you were Catholic or Baptist or whatever. But some of them were specific to Catholic theology, and we would discuss that through. I'm going to lean over a second and grab my cord and plug my iPad back in.
I'm okay, right here.
And then you can tell me if I'm aligned correctly in the screen again.
Oh, there right? you go. There, and I can see you. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. Most of the time I try to let them lead, but I don't know, these things are just so natural around the table. We like to talk about these things. It's not ever been forced. We like to talk about religion and philosophy and history and politics. We just like those things.
But what I'm hearing is that you have to have that space in your day at some point somewhere. Like if you didn't sit around the table, you might not have had those conversations.
Right. And now we have never had a schedule where family dinner time is every night at 6 o'clock, for example. My husband works into the evening many nights a week. There's always been karate or soccer practice or wrestling or exhaustion or tons of homework where people ate in their rooms.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, y'all, there's spaghetti on the stove. I didn't sleep. I'm going to bed. Hmm. That kind of thing. So I want to, definitely not give the picture that we every night at 6 o'clock, the bell would ring and we would sit down and discuss the Bible and eat a salad and a pot roast. Our days were crazy. But our family talks, we talk, we're close. So if you've got little kids, this started even in every way I could think of when my kids were little. I would put them in the baby carrier in the basket in the grocery store, and just, they're like 6 weeks old, and I'm going, this is a can of mushrooms. I'm going to put mushrooms in the cart, right? And so talking to the kids, not in baby talk. Mm-hmm. And when they talk, taking them seriously, listening to them, and letting them express emotions without correcting the emotion. There's behaviors that aren't always acceptable, but their emotions are what they feel and their thoughts are what they think. And those ought not be corrected. Those ought to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And when your children know that you hear them and that you're listening to them, even if it's hard for you because it's alarming what they're thinking or it's alarming what they're feeling, you really have to let them know. I mean, God is there for you with all your scary thoughts and all your scary feelings. You've got to model that and be there for them. And then when they know that you're not going to freak out if they have if they wonder if God even exists, or if they drank with friends, or if they are really mad at you, if they know you're still there, that really has a lot of impact on their faith formation, because they know that God withstands all of that as well. Just starting early, listening to my children and speaking to them like people, not like puppies or, constant babies or whatever, but like human beings, so that they can approach me without fear when they really need to talk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are almost at half an hour here, and I'd like to keep the interviews to half an hour or less, just because of time, when you're busy mom, right? So I'm going to give you a chance if you had something else that was really burning on your heart that you wanted to say, and then we'll wrap it up.
I mostly want to say something that I sort of hinted on just a minute ago, which is that if you keep in mind all the ways that God is there for you. God is not afraid of you. God does not wither away when you have strong feelings or hard thoughts. Model that for your children and show your children that just as you are there for them, God is there for them no matter what. And then they have somebody they can come to. They've got a physical person in you that they can come to, and then they can batter God's door when they need to, when they have their own dark night. And they're going to. And they got to know that they can bang God's door down, and He'll be there for them.
Thank you. Great note to end on. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. So I'm just going to turn off live now. Thank you so much for those who were with us live. That's exciting. And for those who are watching us later, thanks for watching. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.